This is an ABC podcast.
We're in a national emergency, and it's time we treat it like one, together with a national plan as the United States of America, because the health of the nation is literally at stake. It's not hyperbole. I'm convinced the American people are ready as well to spare no effort, no expense to get this done. What could be more important?
Joe Biden made it very clear from the outset that handling the pandemic in America was number one on his to-do list. So nearly 3 months into his term as president, how's that going? I'm Stephen Smiley.
And I'm Ange Lavoie-Pierre. And today on The Signal, after some early wins against the virus, America's luck seems to have turned, with COVID transmission on the rise again. So what's gone wrong? And can Joe Biden turn it around before it becomes a fourth wave? So we wouldn't want to go on the record and say that the US has been boring lately.
No, of course not. Especially not if you're there or you have loved ones there. America is still losing more people to COVID-19 some days than Australia has in total.
Right. So boring is not the word, but the political shift there has meant fewer headlines. Obviously, if we look at Joe Biden's administration so far next to the Trump presidency, it's been a lot more conventional and therefore less likely to attract the attention of a daily Australian news podcast. But we did find ourselves wondering, especially given how much time we spent on this topic last year, how Joe Biden was going with his promise to get COVID-19 under control.
Yeah, and that's the same question the Washington Post's national health reporter Dan Diamond has been asking. Let's start with the fact that the president, Joe Biden, took office back in January, and when he did, his stated number one priority was to tackle the COVID-19 crisis in the United States. What did President Biden do from the outset?
Well, he took a couple steps that the Trump administration, President Trump, had not done. One was around the rollout of vaccines in the United States. The Biden administration set up a number of mass vaccine sites, places where you could go, local stadiums, big settings where people could go queue up and quickly get vaccinated. So that was helpful for the vaccine effort. He also just changed the way that the White House was talking about coronavirus. President Trump famously played down the virus. He insulted scientists like Tony Fauci, who's the U.S., our top government infectious disease expert. He was often at war with President Trump over the state of the virus.
People are tired of hearing Fauci and all these idiots, these people that have gotten it wrong. Fauci's a nice guy. He's been here for 500 years. He called every one of them wrong.
President Biden embraced Tony Fauci. Not literally, we're in the middle of a pandemic, but he put him on his team in a very proactive way, in a very high-profile way. And the White House also has just made things, frankly, a lot more boring, which is probably good, but there's less drama around the coronavirus response. Instead of having these briefings where President Trump would take over and turn it into a chance to attack his political rivals, now it's much more standard.
Okay, so ramping up vaccinations in a big way, changing the messaging in a big way, and really just sucking the drama out of the whole thing. What happened to case numbers once the Biden administration did that?
Well, I think President Biden came at a time when case numbers were going the right way. And by that, I mean, they were going down and they continued to go down. When he took office on January 20th, I believe there were about 150,000, 200,000 cases per day in the U.S. By the end of January, that was down probably 25%. By the end of February, the average was closer to maybe 60,000, 70,000 cases in the U.S. per day. Still a lot. I mean, compare that to countries around the world. It's horrible. But compared to where we were at the end of December, early January, things were going very much the right way.
So some of that initial success was luck. There was already a downward trend.
Yes, I think that's fair to say.
But then that pattern changed, and in March, transmission started to increase again.
Well, I think what's happening in the U.S. is unfortunate because there is a lot of good news, but it's starting to get drowned out on the edges by the bad news. The good news story continues that lots and lots of Americans are getting vaccinated. The U.S. had bought up so many vaccine doses that our nation is in great shape. And the percentage of adults who are vaccinated, it's up near 50%, maybe over 50% by the time this airs in Australia.
Right. And as Dan said, the rollout is moving with speed. But in some places where vaccination rates are lagging behind, like in Washington, D.C., some residents have been taking matters into their own hands. So in these pop-up clinics, like this one at the back of a supermarket, they're giving away any doses that might be left over at the end of the day because someone hasn't turned up for their appointment.
Three extra doses today. Is there anyone 75 and up over here? Any individuals working in manufacturing? Anyone 45 and up that has a comorbid condition? Does anyone have a comorbid condition here? No? Okay, well, that's great. I'm glad you guys are healthy.
So whatever it takes, they're doing the rollout at top speed. And that is feeding back into how confident people feel about returning to normal life, which isn't necessarily a good thing.
The issue, though, is many Americans who either haven't been vaccinated or just got the shot but haven't let the immunity in their system build up, they're so excited, they're rushing back out to be with friends, they're going to bars. And in states where coronavirus maybe hadn't hit as hard last year, a state like the state of Michigan or Minnesota, they're dealing with severe COVID outbreaks right now.
To Michigan, that is where coronavirus cases are increasing at an alarming rate. Hospitalizations rising over 600% just in the last month for patients between the ages of 30 and 50. We want to bring in now Michigan's chief medical executive and member of the Biden-Harris administration's COVID-19 Health Equity Task Force, Dr. Joan A.
And the fear is that those COVID outbreaks will take hold in those U.S. states, and as we've seen, can very quickly start spreading and really set back the progress that we've seen in the U.S. over the past couple months.
Right. So the numbers have turned around a little bit, and we are seeing an uptick in transmission in certain areas. If you can nail it down to a couple of reasons, what's driving that?
Well, I think beyond just people getting together again and looking to the end of the race rather than realizing we're still in the middle of it. Another factor is that the variants are now taking hold in the United States. So this B.1.1.7 variant that seems to spread pretty easily, that is behind a lot of the new cases. It's now the dominant strain in the United States. I think another issue is that the age average has gone down quite a bit. So earlier in the pandemic, at least in the States, it was running rampant among older Americans, people who might be in nursing homes or hospitals. Now the average age is down in the 30s or 40s, the average patient, because again, people are going out, younger people who might have been protected from the virus this past year, but are now mingling again. And I should say that while the case count has gone back up in recent weeks, it was up over 80,000, according to Washington Post data just a few days ago, more than 80,000 new cases per day. The death rate has fallen because even as people are getting sick, some of them have been vaccinated or they're these younger patients, so they might not be as severely ill as the people who were sickened last year.
And also, Dan, the United States, much like Australia, has this sort of federal system of government where in the context of the COVID-19 pandemic, the decisions of state officials, of politicians and health officials at a state level seems to be quite significant. How much is differing focuses between the federal government and particularly Republican states playing into this as well?
It is a major factor. The federal government can set guidelines. President Biden can get on television and encourage people to wear masks or to protect themselves. But in states, governors have a lot of power. And if they say that they don't believe in a mask mandate, the mask mandate gets rolled back and Biden can't do a lot about it. So in states like Texas, like Florida, where there have been significant numbers of coronavirus infections, Republican governors there have made this a political issue. They're ready to open back up. They don't want to follow along with the Biden guidelines at this point. They think they're ready. And that does create some risks.
Too many Texans have been sidelined from employment opportunities. Too many small business owners have struggled to pay their bills. This must end. It is now time to open Texas 100%.
Though interestingly, some of the states where outbreaks are particularly bad are Democrat-led states. Governor Whitmer, she's a Democrat. She leads the state of Michigan. She was someone who was talked about as a potential vice presidential pick. She faced a lot of pressure in her state, which is famously a purple state in the U.S., not blue, not red, but very much in the middle. So she, a couple months ago, started rolling back restrictions. And the thinking is that was too early. If Michigan had just held off a few weeks longer, if they hadn't let so many people go back to indoor dining, that might have made a big difference in holding off the outbreak that they now are dealing with.
Okay, so if we've got the summarized list of things that are driving this uptick, it's sort of individuals' decisions about masks, this more contagious strain or strains that are doing the rounds, and the decisions of officials over whom Joe Biden has little to no control. In the face of all that, what can Joe Biden and his administration really do about this latest uptick?
There's a fight going on right now about whether the U.S. government should change who's getting more vaccine doses. Different governors are appealing to the White House, saying they want to get an emergency uptick of vaccine. The White House so far is holding off on that. What they want to avoid, having talked to some officials in the White House, is setting up a system where if a state has a big problem and maybe a problem of its own making, the White House is then going to shift around distribution that affects all the states. They're trying to be as predictable as possible. But that's one argument that maybe the Biden administration could do more to get more doses there to a crisis point. Another argument is that state leaders who may have opened things up should try and pause the reopening. The White House is trying to figure out ways to do that diplomatically. It's almost like negotiating with a leader in another country. But President Biden and his team try to encourage these governors, encourage these local leaders to shut things down. And if the governor's not necessarily cooperating, the Biden administration might go after the city leaders, the county leaders, the business leaders, and try and build momentum on the ground to put a pause on things. And then I think the last thing is the Biden administration is very focused on national messaging. So even if local leaders are ignoring their guidelines, the Biden administration has started putting ads on TV around vaccines, the first ads that have run since the coronavirus crisis began last year. The Trump administration never got these ads on. And they're trying to do more messaging about how close we are to reopening in the summer. And all we have to do is follow certain protections, certain guidelines, and we'll be that much better off in a few months. I don't know how well that's taking hold or not, but the White House is trying to use its messaging tools to get that message to the hardest hit communities.
And just to go back to the stakes here, you said before, Dan, that, you know, sort of 80,000 new cases a day. I mean, admittedly, that's better, right, than it has been. But to an Australian audience, that is a staggering figure. As far as we can tell, you've had three big waves of the virus during the Trump presidency. How real is the risk of a fourth wave?
Real enough that a lot of Biden's former advisors during the transition, so the transition between President Trump and President Biden, there were a few months when President Biden went out and talked to doctors, experts on COVID. I talked to three of them for our story last week. All three of them said that they're deeply concerned about the possibility of a fourth surge. It might not be as bad as the waves last year because more Americans are vaccinated. If they get sick, they might not be severely ill the way that they might have been last year. They might be younger people who can tolerate COVID better. But it's disturbing. I don't know the total count of cases in Australia. I don't know if you guys have had 80,000 cases total, have you? I mean,
we've had less than 1,000 deaths.
Yeah, I think you'd get more new cases in a week than we've had in the entire life of the pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, we're still having days. I don't think in the past week, but maybe 2 weeks ago, there were days of 1,000 deaths. So it's still pretty bad here. And the potential is, if you don't get it under control, 80,000 cases becomes 100,000 cases, becomes 130,000 cases, becomes more. And I know the United States is in tremendous shape on the vaccine rollout, but that still means that there are 100 million people plus who have yet to be vaccinated.
Oh, and by the way, Dan is totally right on that point about our case total here in Australia. The US is clocking 80,000 new cases a day. Australia has had 29,000 in total.
So it was always a little bit of a risk going into office that Joe Biden was saying, although he sort of had to, I suppose, say, this is my number one priority. I'm going to tackle this pandemic in the United States. Is he now being criticised? Is this hurting him politically because the initial gains made in that fight appear to be, in some ways, evaporating?
I would say not yet for a couple of reasons. One, it's hard to understate how much relief there is, not just from Democrats, but from a lot of Republicans too, that President Trump is no longer overseeing the coronavirus response. President Trump was polling very well among Republicans, but overall, his approval rating on coronavirus was pretty low. It was under 50%, under 40%, I actually think. President Biden, if you look at the polling, different polls have them at different levels, but one poll that we cited, some huge percentage of Americans, like 70% or maybe more, approved of his coronavirus response. So far, his polling is really good. And these isolated outbreaks in states like Michigan and Minnesota, those are being blamed on the local leaders, not on President Biden. I think the real risk is if they continue to spiral, if these cases in these states get worse, if neighboring states start having outbreaks too, and we get to a point where President Biden can't deliver on the promise of reopening this summer, that's where the real political peril lies. We're not there yet, and hopefully we won't get there. But there are enough warning signs, enough red flags, that's why we wrote the story. That after all the numbers broke President Biden's way, sometimes because of what he did and sometimes just because of the timing, now they're starting to break against him. And if it keeps going this way for a few weeks, then we really will be in another coronavirus crisis.
That's The Signal for today and for this week. If you do want to drop us a line, you can always do that at thesignal@abc.net.au.
And we will be back in your feed early Monday morning.
We'll catch you then. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.